Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa began yesterday. No, it didn't. Wait a minute. It didn't begin yesterday. It began a few decades ago. Some American professor at where? Berkeley, California, invented Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is an ancient African holiday celebration that began in America just recently. And that's Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa and Ebonics. I mean, if you're going to have a culture, have a real culture. Ebonics. Do they still teach Ebonics? That was popular for a while. And Ebonics, what comes after a sentence? An appeal. That's Ebonics. All right. Hey, man, this story is so devastating. And this is a crime story out of Colorado. And most of you out there in our audience, of course, those listening via KLT in Colorado may have heard about the family murdered, the two little kids, the mother murdered down in Colorado Springs and on December 20th, and the police have just released the 911 tape. And I have here the transcript of this 911 tape. This little girl, 8 years old, Michaela Hernandez, called 911, and I'm going to read you the transcript. It's just so devastating. And this is part of why we fight like we do regarding criminal justice, because our country, our government is broken. Our criminal justice system in America is a complete failure. And it's not just academic. It's people's lives being destroyed. Innocent victims. So we're going to do that. Before we do, we got a bunch of instant messages here and some emails that Benny Hinn, the televangelist, there's a Dateline NBC, Dateline NBC tonight that used hidden cameras to find out more about Benny Hinn's, the show he puts on. And so that, of course, could be interesting. That's on this evening, December 27th. And I remember years ago that was done with one of the early, Peter Popoff was his name. And they just found just really disturbing information about that guy. And if I recall, it ended his career. Let's see. And here's an email from Knoxville, Tennessee, from the manager of WITA Radio, WITA 1490 AM. From manager Gail Scott. And dear Bob Enyart, your program was brought to my attention by one of our listeners. She found you on the internet. After much prayer, she has agreed to partially underwrite your program on WITA here in Knoxville, Tennessee, through all of 2003. Whoever this person is, this woman who wants to get Bob Enyart live on in Knoxville, she has offered the station $300 a month for a year toward the airtime for Bob Enyart live. Isn't that interesting? So, we can pick you up live from 9 to 10 p.m. from Information Radio Network, IRN. Well, that's neat. So anyway, we'll find out more about that. And by the way, to our friends listening in New York State, the Rochester, New York area, just to let you know, we've spent more than a month, attempting to raise our support, the support we need to be on the air in Denver, Colorado, and that has gone reasonably well. And we do hope, we expect that we'll be on through the first quarter of 2003. And in a few weeks, we'll return our attention toward Denver to try to to try to make sure we could have a solid base to stay on for through the whole year. But I would like to mention to those of you listening in New York State, it would be just thrilling for some of you to call us up at 1-800-8-NYARDS and offer a monthly pledge of, you know, whatever amount you thought appropriate. $50 to $100 a month would be just thrilling. And our goal is to get five people, or the equivalent of five people at $100 a month, from the New York, from the Rochester area, to help underwrite the show there in Rochester. All right, now to the story out of Colorado Springs. So the police have released this 911 tape made by an 8-year-old girl, December 20th, and it's absolutely chilling. This tape, her voice was recorded. Now, I'm just going to read you the transcript, but it was recorded just minutes before she was murdered by her father, her brother, and her stepmother. And, you know, what's going on is that as suicide is advocated in our society as acceptable, and we've pointed out for years, for over 10 years on this program, that, of course, suicide is very destructive. But also, when it becomes acceptable, then criminals use it. People use murder, suicide as a way of bringing off vengeance or a crime, and then thinking they're getting away with it. And not only that, we saw in World War II, the kamikaze pilots, and with the current terrorism in September 11th, and the suicide bombers in Israel, Islamic Jihad and Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah, where people, they're not afraid to kill themselves. In fact, it's part of their culture, and it's approved. And the more in America, the more that suicide becomes approved, the more we're going to see examples of criminals and murderers who will now think in those terms, and then it becomes a part of their the tools that they can use to pull off whatever it is they want to accomplish. So in this case, this little girl was at home in Colorado Springs, beautiful city. Her name is Michaela Hernandez, 8 years old. She was a second grader. And she called 911 at 3:20 in the morning. 9 minutes later, an officer arrived at the house, and she was dead, shot to death. Her 4-year-old brother, Michael Wasserberger, was dead. Her stepmother and her father, all dead. We'll be back right after this. Listener-supported radio, that's what we've got here at Bob and Yurt Live. When we get back on the show, we're going to talk through the story of this little girl. And here on Bob and Yurt Live, we offer solutions for our crime epidemic that come straight out of the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible claims to be the Word of God. A lot of people who have studied it have come to the conclusion that it must be, because men could not have written it. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we take the teachings of the Bible and apply them to the news of the day. And in this story, we'll do it in this story, and we'll see, is the message of the Bible valid for helping to combat this kind of just devastating criminal behavior? Is it valid? Might it help or not? And of course, we'll make the argument that it does help. And as we debate the issues of the day, whether it's the death penalty or the war on terror or attempting to kill Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden, trying to prevent North Korea from having nuclear weapons, as we do these things, we talk about the issues, well, then right and wrong comes up constantly, the principles of right and wrong, and whether or not we're just animals or if we're actually created in the image of God as men and women. And if so, do we have a duty, an obligation to God? And if we do, to do right, do we succeed or do we fail? And if we fail, is there a way to be forgiven, to be saved? That's what Bob and Yurt Live is all about. If you'd like to help us further the outreach of this show, please call us at 1-800-8-N-YURT, 1-800-836-9278. Perhaps you could make a pledge or purchase some of our materials and help us to fight on. One of the ways of doing that, if you are interested in us and Bob and Yurt Live being on in Rochester, New York, you know, we've had a goal of getting 20 pledges of $100 a month to stay on the air in Denver, and we're up to 13, and we're thrilled about that. We still have a shortfall as far as paying for the radio time in Denver is concerned, but we're just thrilled with the 13. And hopefully we'll be able to hang in there and make up for that negative cash flow in Denver. And in New York State, that we're on at Rochester, New York, the Sunshine Network, we could use your help there. If you're one of the people who want the show to stay on in New York State, then please consider calling and making a pledge. Thank you. One 800 8 N Yards, 1-800-836-9278. They were all murdered, the three, and the father then committed suicide, all with gunshot wounds to the head. And the father, Sonny Hernandez, the gun was found under his body. So, and the police said they may never officially determine a motive in the case, but Hernandez had a problem with his marriage, and so it doesn't seem too hard to figure out what the motive was. And when, you know, as our nation is, our culture is so overcharged sexually, and fornication is legal, pornography is legal, and that Christian leaders advocate that pornography should be legal. Christian leaders. Oh, yeah, they'll say that obscenity, whatever that is, and child pornography should be illegal, but Christian leaders stand by pornography as it should be legal. And so because of all these things, and we've legalized adultery, we decriminalized adultery in the last few decades. So as a result, of course, you have a tremendous epidemic of fornication and adultery in marriages that fail. And when marriages fail, little kids' hearts are just ripped out of them. The pain of growing up in a broken family. And then in this case, we've got this guy who's angry at his wife for whatever reason. And he gets mad enough that he's going to kill her. But then he thinks, you know, I can't let my kids suffer if I go to jail. So I could kill myself too, but my kids will have to live with having a dad who killed their stepmom and himself. So I'll kill them too. And I'll spare my kids of the pain of having to go through all this. Now, that's the sick and twisted mind of this. It's an epidemic of murder suicides in America. It's an epidemic. And we have said this for over 10 years, that the more that our society defends suicide, the more criminals will commit suicide at the end of their crime as a way of attempting to get away with it. And in a society, criminals, murderers, tend to be not all that sharp. They're not very good problem solvers. They're murderers. And so when you have a society that there's a complete social taboo against suicide, so that it's never defended, ever, and it's almost never talked about, and it brings a tremendous amount of shame. In that kind of society, criminals, being the stupid morons they tend to be, they don't come up with suicide as part of their repertoire of how to commit a crime and get away with it. They don't do it. You don't have an epidemic of murder suicides in a society where suicide is completely prohibited by just the morality, the moral code. So let's get to the transcript here of this little girl's 911 tape. The dispatcher says, Colorado Springs 911, this is Ray. What is the address of your emergency? And Michaela said, there's this guy named Sonny at 3030 Rollingwood Loop, and he's trying to shoot this girl named Tosha. Dispatcher, and you're at 3030? Michaela, yes. Dispatcher, what's the phone number you're calling from? Michaela, it's a cordless phone. Dispatcher, what's your last name? Michaela Hernandez. Dispatcher, is this occurring in your house? Michaela, no, I'm actually calling to tell you because they're both arguing and there's no one else to call. Dispatcher, are they outside or inside the house? Michaela, they're inside. Dispatcher, what's your first name? Michaela. Michaela. Dispatcher, and you think someone might have a weapon? Michaela, yes, this guy has a gun in the house. Dispatcher, is your mother and father arguing, or who is this? Do you know? Who is this? Do you know? Michaela, this is my stepmother and my father. Dispatcher, and notice, of course, that the girl was embarrassed at first to admit that this was her father. Dispatcher, have they gotten physical or is it just verbal? Michaela, what do you mean? Dispatcher, are they just arguing at each other or are they hitting each other? Michaela, my dad slapped her in the face and just pushed her back. And then there's some garbled sound, and then you could make out on the tape, pushing. Dispatcher, and there's two children. How old are you? Michaela, 8. Dispatcher, how old is your brother? Michaela, he's 4. Dispatcher, and your dad's name? Michaela, Sonny. Dispatcher, and it's Hernandez? Michaela, uh-huh. Dispatcher, how old is he? Michaela, 40. Dispatcher, have they been drinking? Any alcohol involved? Michaela, yes, he has. And then garbled. Dispatcher, is there anyone hurt at this time? Michaela, no, but she's going to get hurt because I heard him pull the trigger and load it. Dispatcher, where are you right now? Michaela, inside the house on the bed. My dad's holding the gun, telling that he's going to pop my stepmom, Tosha. Now, obviously, while the dispatcher is talking to this little girl, the dispatcher has used the computer to notify a patrolman to get to the address, and the police were there 9 minutes after the call came in. But it was too late. And, of course, 911 in these kind of circumstances is usually too late. 911, because we have a jihad in our country against self-defense and against guns, of all things, because we have that jihad, then 911 in this kind of situation is for the most part a cleaning service. They'll clean up the blood and the dead bodies, and they'll haul away the corpses. So, dispatcher, where are you right now? Michaela, inside the house on the bed. My dad's holding the gun, telling that he's going to pop my stepmom, Tosha. Dispatcher, is it a handgun or is it a rifle? Michaela, a handgun. Dispatcher, are you safe and out of danger? Michaela, yeah, sort of, but I'm kind of scared. Michael's in the room with Tosha and with the gun. So, dispatcher, so your brother is in the room with your mother and stepdad? And that was a little confused, right? It's a stepmom and your father. Michaela, yeah. Dispatcher, okay, can you stay safe? Can you stay away from your mom and dad? Michaela, yeah. dispatcher, because we're going to get officers out there as soon as we can for you, okay? I'm going to go ahead and stay on the line, okay? And let me know if you hear or see anything else, okay? Michaela, okay. Then screaming could be heard in the background, and the dispatcher asks, what room are they in? Michaela, they're in the bedroom. Then Tosha can be heard in the background. Where are you, Michaela? She's calling 911. The line goes dead. Dispatch calls back. Number rings three times. Ernie Hernandez answers. Hello? Dispatcher. This is Ray with 911. We need to find out what's going on there, sir. This is 911. Ernie Hernandez. Who called 911? Dispatcher. We had a 911 call from your residence, sir. Line goes dead. Dispatch dials back. Phone rings five times and reaches an answering machine for Hernandez Business, Air Services, Inc., which had been dissolved in October. Police arrive. Three murder victims. One criminal committed suicide in an attempt to get away with his crime, to escape punishment. And the evolutionary atheist agnostics in our society, by their worldview, this guy got away with his crime. This guy, to the extent that he's influenced by liberal thinking in America, he can rationally conclude, based on liberal ideas, that if you're angry enough, and since there's nothing after death, death is the end, if you need vengeance, or if you want to commit a crime, you could commit the crime and at the end kill yourself, and then you will have successfully got away with it. They will not be able to catch you. They won't be able to shame you, embarrass you, put you on trial, punish you. You, being the coward that you are, you will still be able to commit the crime, whether a suicide bomber, and blow up women and children, and nobody could catch you, nobody could yell at you, nobody could try you, find you guilty, or punish you because you're dead. And either you're dead and nowhere, because life's over then, as the liberals in America would have you believe, the evolutionary atheists, or you're with Allah in paradise with seven virgins. Both lies. Both lies. Both false. Both seemingly giving people a way to commit, to kill innocent people and get away with it. For political gain, for personal gain. And it's just so despicable. It is absolutely despicable that in our society, it's become so commonplace for people to say suicide is acceptable. Suicide is okay. After all, if you're suffering, if you're in terrible pain, then suicide is a way to deal with that pain. Oh, yeah? And then when a 15-year-old girl has her boyfriend break up with her to go out with her best friend, there's no more pain in all the world than that. And so we have an epidemic of kids killing themselves. Suicide, a third leading cause of death among young people in America. Hello to our internet audience. So we'll see how this works. It's so difficult for me, and I'm just so uncomfortable. But for the last couple months, we've really had a full court press trying to raise money on the air so that Bob and Yurt Live could stay on, not only stay on, but actually grow. And one of our goals is in February to add a new station. That's going to be a challenge. Just keeping the five stations we've got right now is a challenge. But if we could solidify our base in Denver and then in Rochester, New York, if we could do that by early February, then at the NRB in where is that? In Knoxville, Tennessee. No, Nashville. In Nashville, Tennessee, well, we're going to be at a convention at the Opryland Hotel. Hey, we'll have to go to the Grand Ole Opry, right? That'll be fun. Are you going, Nathaniel, to that convention? Well, let me know if you want to go. You'll have to sleep in the same room as Dwayne Hostetler and I. You think you can do that? And me. You need earplugs because I snore too loud? All right, we'll get you those. So anyway, that'd be fun if Nathaniel comes. But at that convention, there'll be many Christian radio stations represented. Their management will be there. And, you know, Bob and Eric Live, the TV show, we were on in about 80 markets. And we didn't pay for airtime. It was extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. Three satellite networks, five nights a week for an hour. We were on satellite, I think, five times a night, every night. Five different satellite channels and times broadcast. And three networks. It was just so exciting. But we didn't pay for airtime. And that was a great and wonderful opportunity. And we lasted for years, and now that's gone. And now we've pretty much accepted the reality that to be on the air, we have to pay for radio airtime. It's backwards from the way it's done in the real world. In the real world, if you do a radio show and people listen, you get paid by the station. Christian broadcasting, you have to pay the station, which makes for very awkward economics. But if you're interested in helping us, then please call. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. Just an absolutely devastating 911 call from a little girl, and multiply that 1,000 times over. 1,000 times over. And the unnecessary tragedies that occur, the crimes, the heinous acts, the murders, the drunken driving deaths, thousands upon thousands every year. And then on top of all that, dwarfing all of that, are the children that are slaughtered by the abortionists, paid to kill children, Planned Parenthood, and what the Democratic Party, and one of their leading issues is killing unborn babies. That's one of the leading issues of Hillary Clinton and the ACLU in Hollywood. And it's one of the main issues that the Republican Party ducks. George W. Bush in the White House, he's compromised for years, supposedly to get ahead politically, promising the Christian pro-life supporters that once he gets ahead, then it'll have been worthwhile all the compromises. And so now he's in the White House, and we have not only abortion, where we murder over 1 million kids a year in this country, abortionists getting paid at Planned Parenthood and elsewhere to kill kids who are in the womb, sucking their thumb, playing with their toes, sleeping, dreaming. But we've even got partial birth abortion, which is no worse than the murder of the other kids, but it's so vile and gruesome that even an unbeliever should be able to see that it's a brutal murder. Even an unbeliever should see that in partial birth abortion, a baby is 5, 6, 7 months gestation, second, third trimester, and the abortionist delivers the baby feet first, and before the head comes out, they literally stab the baby in the back of the neck into his brain and kill the baby that way. and George W. Bush, he's after Osama, but somehow the slaughtered children in America that are killed while he looks the other way, somehow he doesn't have quite the compassion for him that he has for other victims of murders. You know, he gets a lot of political support from people who are pro-choice. Just like Saudi Arabia, they get a lot of support from people who are pro-choice of supporting Al-Qaeda. And so the government of Saudi Arabia might look the other way. They might not aggressively try to stop the support for terrorism that comes out of their country. Just like George W. Bush, he gets a lot of political support from pro-child killing donors and party leaders. The Republican Party is filled with pro-aborts, filled with pro-aborts. In fact, the strongest pro-lifers typically don't have a prayer of getting the support of their party, typically. There's a few exceptions. So as long as our country has it legal to kill kids, it just makes me sick. All right, we're going first to Arvada, Colorado, then to South Bend, Indiana. In Arvada, Zane, speak your mind.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing well, sir.
Yeah, my phone's got a bit of a hearing thing, but I can hear you fairly well.
All right.
Hey, what's the deal with Bill Frist? Is he going to be on the right side of this issue? Or
Bill Frist is a hardcore pro-abort.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, pro. Now, I haven't personally researched his voting record, but he's a pro-abort. And so, of course, the White House will be very, very happy to work with him and would never, ever say one word against any pro-abort child killer, no matter how rabid, in the Republican Party. You could be a child-killing fanatic, and you're in good with George W. Bush if you're willing to vote Republican.
I just can't follow that kind of thinking.
It makes me sick to my stomach. And I see this little girl who's murdered, and ideas have consequences. When you have a nation that sheds
right.
innocent blood, innocent people get killed, including kids.
Right. The philosophy has its wages, right?
Yeah, that's right. When, you know, on Judgment Day, when George W. Bush says to Jesus Christ, well, I really tried to get those terrorists who murdered those innocent Americans.
Yeah.
And God will say, and how about the abortionist who murdered children, and you put judges on the bench who defended the child killing.
Yeah, but that wasn't hurting the economy.
Yeah, but of course it does, right?
Well, I think it does.
Yeah,
I'm
when
sure
you,
that whatever takes place is it just brings about judgment. You know?
When you murder 30 million young people, 40 million young
yeah.
people, yeah, obviously you hurt the economy.
I would think so. I mean,
yeah, but of course that's. Of course, that's virtually irrelevant compared to the murders themselves.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to know about Bill Frist. I go on and on, but I do believe my son's mom wants me, or my wife.
All right.
So
Zane,
will,
thank you for calling.
I'll talk to you later, Bob. Thanks a lot.
God bless you. Hey, if it's a leader of the Republican Party, either it's going to be a pro-lifer who likes to appoint radical pro-abortion judges, or it'll be a pro-abort. Those are the only two kind of pro-life Republican leaders you get for the most part. Either the pro-lifers who like to appoint and vote for, confirm, nominate pro-abortion judges, or the out-and-out, the ones who are not hypocrites, the ones who just say out-and-out, oh, yeah, I'm a pro-abort. That's it. You either get the hypocrites or the admitted pro-aborts. That's what you get with the Republican Party. 1-800-836-9278 in South Bend, Indiana. Dean, speak your mind. Hello, Dean.
Merry Christmas, Bob.
Thank
Late
you.
Late Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir.
We talk about this culture of death, it's amazing how convoluted it is in this country, because the people that defend the most hideous forms of abortion, I mean, will defend it. To their last breath, will also defend protecting people like Charles Manson and keeping them alive.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
So it's okay to suck the brains out of a baby as it's coming out of the wound,
mm-hmm.
or the womb, but it's not okay to execute Charles Manson for all the sick things he did.
Right.
You know.
Right. Of course.
Is there something wrong with that?
And the liberals, this is how stupid you have to be a liberal. Well, to be a liberal, you have to think that taxes are too low and ATM fees are too high. But anyway, but a liberal looks at a conservative Christian and says, you're against abortion and you're for the death penalty? How could that be? Go figure. That's what they say to us.
It's real easy.
Yeah, explain that, Dean, because they're obviously too stupid to understand it on their own. Explain it to them.
An unborn baby hasn't harmed anybody. An unborn baby hasn't raped anybody. An unborn baby hasn't chopped someone up into pieces. An unborn baby hasn't run over someone with a car. An unborn baby hasn't burned people alive.
Right. Right. The baby's innocent.
Yeah.
The baby's innocent, so you protect the innocent and you punish the guilty. So we believe that you execute the convicted murderer, rapist, kidnapper, and you love and protect the innocent baby.
Right.
But the liberal, to be a good liberal, you have to advocate killing the innocent baby and protecting the guilty murderer.
Right. And not only protecting the guilty murderer, but providing the guilty murderer with the television, with conjugal visits, so where they can reproduce themselves.
Yeah, right.
You know, just
all that. Right. Yeah, it's just all. It's the world we live in, and you know, it'd be one thing, Dean, if it was just us against those who openly hate God.
Right.
It'd be one thing. But George W. Bush claims to be a Christian, and it seems like he doesn't give a rip that kids are being killed, that the most dangerous place in the world is to be in your mother's womb.
Right. Well, the most dangerous place to be in the Western world is. Okay, if you go in the Middle East, if I recall right, abortion is extremely illegal in that part of the world.
Well, that's true. Israel has legalized abortion. You have to jump through a couple hoops.
But I mean, in the Islamic.
But right. Yeah. In this Islamic world, homosexuality, abortion, adultery, these things are still criminal. And the reason they're criminal there is because they modeled their society partly after the law in the Bible. But I say only partly. For example, under Islamic law, it's a perversion of biblical law. If you steal, they'll cut off your hand. Well, that's wrong. God said in the Bible, if you steal, you pay restitution twofold back. So we can see the, you know, when you twist God's word, then you're in trouble one way or another. Dean, thank you so much. When we come back, we'll be to Tim and your call. Hello to everyone tuning in on the internet. So here's our long-term plan. Long-term meaning over the next few months. We just like we've been trying to get 20 people a month to pledge in Denver to keep us on the air in Denver, $100 a month. We're going to attempt to get 10 people a month in Indianapolis. 10. And 5 people in Rochester, New York. And then 10 people in South Bend, Indiana. And if we could pull that off, and then 5 people in Springfield, Massachusetts, in that area. And if we could pull that off, then we'll actually have a solid foundation, a financial foundation on which to expand into more cities. And, you know, to us, that's extremely exciting. Extremely exciting to be able to do that. And so the question will be, will we have the support from the audience? Will that happen? And we hope it happens. We're going to fight, do our best. I'm so far out of my comfort zone every show on the air, asking people to give. It's just, ugh. I don't like it. But I need to do it in order to keep the show on and to have it grow. So thank you for those of you on the web that are doing your part. If you're interested, please call us and help out. Oh, I have one more minute. Ah, it's a bonus. So, and of course, there are a couple options. One way is a monthly pledge, just automatically once a month. And that's, you know, we're just thrilled and so thankful to people who pledge on a regular basis. And then you could sign up for one of our monthly offerings. For example, our monthly album for $34.95 a month. You get an album mailed to you every month, not a music album. Hey, maybe we could throw Tony Funderburk's albums in the mix. Not a music album, but a Bible teaching album. Usually there's six tapes, six one-hour tapes, sometimes more, less, quite often more, in an album. And then if you sign up for the monthly album once a month, automatically you get mailed to you the latest album. Welcome back. 1-800-8-N-YARDS. 1-800-836-9278. All right, we're going to the phones. And, of course, the Pentagon has ordered the Navy to have carriers and assault vessels ready to sail for Iraq. Let's go to Topple Bluff, Missouri. Tim, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Tim.
How's it going?
Great, sir.
Actually, I'm not in Topple Bluff. I'm still in Michigan.
All right.
That's where I'm from right now.
All right.
On your abortion issue.
Yes.
Okay. I used to have a different view from you. I thought it used to be, a woman's choice.
Okay.
Until something happened.
What?
I had a child.
Oh. That's a wonderful thing to have happen.
And then I had another child.
Ha ha ha.
And then I became a Christian.
You did?
Yes.
Well, welcome to the family.
And anybody that truly supports it, abortion, without really looking at that from the way I'm looking at it now, it's just used that way to cover up all their immoralities.
Well, yeah, that's partly it, right?
It makes it an excuse.
Right. You know, my wife and I, in fact, and Nathaniel, my show engineer, my son, last night we saw a little bit of Donahue on MSNBC, PMSNBC.
Yeah.
And Donahue had Christopher Reeve on, and they were talking, you know, the former Superman who's paralyzed.
Yeah.
And they were talking about stem cell research, and Donahue was ecstatic, just ecstatic. It was like he was going to break out into glossolalia or something. He was ecstatic about stem cell research and the possible, you know, the good and the lives that could be saved and diseases cured. And we talked about that, and we said, you know, when people are evil, if they kill people, if they hurt others, the thing that makes them ecstatic is it when they find what they think is a justification for doing it. So, like, if the Germans thought that their economy was getting better after they killed the Jews, they'd point out how great the economy was if that happened. Or if you kill enough babies, and finally, it's like a doctor who sees a baby that's maybe has a bit of a congenital problem, and he says to the mother, "Oh, your baby is going to be seriously deformed, and we need to abort him." And they're so aggressively advocating aborting a child if there's the least little physical problem. And so many women have called up on this show over the last 10 years and said, "Bob, our doctor said we had a deformed baby. We had to abort him." And we said, "Never." And he was born. She was born as a beautiful little baby girl, perfectly healthy. Or the most minor little problems. And that story is over and over 1,000 times over in this country. So what happens is when people are filled with guilt, then they look for excuses to justify their wickedness.
Right. Right.
That's Donahue to a T.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you remember me. I called in, about 6 months ago.
All right. Remind me, Tim.
Okay. I was calling about a comment that somebody else made about somebody's, you know, a person's drug use doesn't affect another person's.
Okay.
And I called about a friend of mine that died from basically drug use.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, his daughter.
Yeah.
Thanked me the other day for introducing her to Jesus.
Oh, praise the Lord.
She gave birth to her third child.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's just, she thought about aborting that child.
Oh.
Well, that now that, you know, she was in depression and all this other, because her dad just passed on.
Right.
Well, now they got another beautiful baby, Daryl. Oh. Is my friend's name.
That's neat.
Just don't give up just because somebody says you have to do it.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't make...
And so, Tim, you led her to the Lord?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for doing that.
I didn't think I had it in me, but I did.
You did. And then when did the baby come, before or after she became a Christian?
Before.
Mm. That's great.
So now, well, I ain't going to be able to listen to you for several months, so.
All right. You going to Missouri?
Going back to Missouri.
Well, will you have the internet?
No, all my money right now I've got going is building a new house.
All right. Well, that sounds great, Tim.
So when I hear from you again, hear you guys again, I'll call in.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thanks. Goodbye. Bye-bye. And we're going to go back to the phones, 1-800-836-9278 in South Bend. Viola.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Viola.
How are you?
Doing great.
Good. I wanted to tell you about an incident. First of all, I want to say that the reason, hang on, I'll get away from the
all right.
radio.
Yep.
The reason we have so many things, that was terrible what you told about that little girl being murdered and her little brother.
Just devastating.
But the reason is God is not allowed, Jesus Christ is not allowed in the classroom or anywhere. That's what happens for one thing.
Well, that's right. We've expelled God, and we being a Christian nation, when you expel God, you become way more evil than the nation that never had him to start with.
Right, but I want to tell you about something else.
Yeah.
When my second daughter was born, and I'm in the hospital, I hear the nurses, and they're saying, oh, her child has a cauliflower ear. You know what was wrong, Bob?
What?
It was just her ear was protruding just a bit.
Just the slightest
Nothing
bit.
Wrong with the child, but they were saying, she has a cauliflower ear, and it scared me half to death.
Huh.
Example, right?
Yeah.
Of ignorance and...
Well, yeah, that's not as bad as...
No, that
something...
was a minor thing.
Yeah.
What I meant is how they can, you know...
Make it sound like it's such a big deal.
Right.
Well, Viola, let me tell you about... We have friends here in Colorado who had a little tiny baby
uh-huh.
who was born premature and only lived for 24 hours.
Oh.
And the mom and dad got to hold the precious little baby who was smaller than your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors and nurses were so mad at the mom. In fact, the mom only pulled this off because she herself was a nurse.
Uh-huh.
But they wanted the baby was going to die, and the mom was probably going to die. And so they wanted to abort the baby. And the mother said, we are not going to kill this baby. And they said, well, the baby's going to die and you're going to die. She said, well, then we'll birth the baby and do our best to save the baby. Even if he's going to die, let's have a cesarean and give birth to him. And the hospital didn't want to do it.
They didn't.
They wanted to just kill the baby. And the mother said, we are not going to kill the baby. If the baby dies, the baby dies. But I'm giving birth to my little baby. It was good. And you know what? It was unique in Colorado. That's the only time that had happened.
Is it? You know, there was a hospital in Chicago. I can't remember the name of it, but my brother-in-law was in that hospital. And they let a baby die. I can't remember. You may have heard about it.
Hmm.
You know, it was born, and they just left it die.
Ah.
And then there was a friend of ours had a baby, or she had a miscarriage. She had a funeral for that baby. She mm-hmm. held that baby. It was miscarried.
You're right. Well, we had a funeral for this little baby.
Right. You know, it's just that people are so sick, you know, and ignorant and all that.
And you know what, Viola? Some of the people at the hospital were so angry at this mom and this dad. Mm-hmm. They were angry because they had the nerve to respect and honor their little baby.
Right.
Would that anger doctors and nurses? And believe me, you could cut the tension with a knife.
Mm-hmm. Those, I believe you.
Those nurses were angry.
What was the hospital? What name of the hospital there?
Well, I'm sort of trying not to say because I don't want to. We've talked about this in the past, but I don't want to violate the mm-hmm. privacy.
Well, I don't want you to get thrown off the air, Bob.
No, that wouldn't happen at all. I'm just thinking about the couple.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they
it's not their fault.
No, but let me ask you this. Let's see how intuitive you are. Why would the nurses be angry at this couple?
Because they knew that they killed that baby.
Well.
Let it die or whatever.
Well, not close. Because they had killed so many other babies
right.
in this circumstance that how dare anyone show a little baby love and respect.
Right.
They got so angry at this mother and father for loving this little 5-month-old baby, so angry they were livid.
It's sad, you know, and it's time probably for another something terrible to happen because God is going to come down on us or let something come down on us because people went back to sleep after the 9/11. You know, for a while there they were mentioning God.
Yeah.
Now it's like they don't want God again. So
That kind of a foxhole conversion,
mm-hmm.
that only lasts till the end of the battle.
You know, and Jerry Falwell, even though he reneged on what he said, he was right the first time.
He apologized.
And he was crazy the second
time. All right. Thank you.
Apologizing.
Thank you, Viola.
Yeah, thank you. Bye, Bob.
God bless you. All right. Yeah, when Christians talk about God and what happens when tragedies occur and how the fact that there's a God, how does that affect the tragedy that it happened or not, or could it be prevented? Well, God created us in a certain kind of an existence. And the existence that he gave us has a strong cause and effect dynamic at work. So that if you're a drug addict, you're married, you're going to have an unhappy marriage. Strong cause and effect. And if you cheat on your wife, you're going to have an unhappy marriage. And if you don't provide for your children, you're going to have a terrible family. And so when you're a nation that has rejected Jesus Christ, well, you're going to be weak and immoral. And your people are going to hurt one another. And you're not going to have the wisdom or the courage to even know what it means to defend yourself as a nation. Your foreign policy will be corrupt. You'll turn the other cheek when it means innocent children being slaughtered by abortionists. If you're George W. Bush, you'll be a pro-life president who likes to appoint pro-abortion judges. That's what it means to be a Republican leader who's pro-life. It means you tell the Christians you're pro-life and you appoint pro-abortion judges. That's what that means. Did you ever know that? That's what it means. Pro-life Republican means you appoint pro-abortion judges. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.